Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on Conversation of the Devil. The guy whose greatest claim is that he doesn't exist is anything more than an act, or if he really is the scary guy that went down to Georgia to play that fiddle.
You know, I was thinking about, it's been a while since I've been hunting. I love to hunt. It's been years. But the key in hunting is that you want to be in stealth mode. You want to be undetectable to the prey. You have an incredible advantage if you can be not perceived and be, for all intents and purposes, invisible.
Almost as if, you know, when you're sitting out there in a tree stand, per se, yes. The deer has no idea of your existence. So how easy is it for you to put a bow in his side?
Exactly.
Or not a bow, sorry, an arrow.
Yeah, yep. But you're the great observer. You know, and you choose when, if, or whatever, if you're even going to engage the situation in front of you. And so let's just say this, regardless of how you feel about whether the devil exists, think about this. If he did exist, what if he did exist, think about the incredible advantage he would have if we couldn't perceive him or refuse to acknowledge he exists, much like a deer does in the woods and says, there is no hunter in the tree. That's just really bad, a really bad looking tree with camouflage.
Yep. Almost as if there is no threat here.
Right.
Let your guard down.
Right.
Be comfortable.
I mean, that's really the dream of every military is they want to be perceived as if you see them, there's no threat.
Mm-hmm.
And the ideal situation is you don't even perceive them at all. There are believers today, that is Christians, who what they do is they kind of pick and choose what they're going to believe in.
Treat things as a deli, per se. Like, yeah. I like the smoked chip ham, but I'm going to leave the turkey alone.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're going shopping at the religious store. You know what I mean? You got your cart, and you're just kind of filling up with whatever you want. And
once again, when all of that happens, who wins in that situation?
Well, exactly. Again, so we go back to...
The guy who tells you he doesn't exist.
Right. And if the devil is real, and the premise that we... for the most part have worldwide that he doesn't exist. Think about the incredible advantage he has if in fact he is real.
Absolutely. How many people put their guard down and I mean you can even apply it to things like industry. How many people put their guard down and sign up for things, contracts for what they perceive to be fame and fortune, but what do they really get out of that? What's on the back end of the deal?
Oh boy, that's something.
The details, yeah, per
the
details. Yes.
And you know what? We're so lazy today intellectually, and I'll prove it to you. Even on the phone that you're probably listening on or computer, you've installed apps and you had to agree to some terms of service.
Yeah. All of us. I'm terrible.
And
at
you
that.
Didn't
you just
read
click,
it.
Just
you
click
didn't
accept
read it.
And move on.
Yeah,
yep.
You didn't read it because you just want to get to the app, right? You
Correct.
Want to use it, and you don't understand it's not free. They're selling your information.
They just took 3/4 of your identity.
Yeah.
And, exactly.
And they're saying that your data is the new currency. I mean, hello, and you just gave it to them.
And how long have we been giving it to everyone willingly but unwillingly?
Right.
In the sense that we had no idea what we were really giving away.
You and I both used to be atheists, and I don't know fully all your story, but this was on the flip side. If I were to try and run down the old road that I was on, that I refused to believe there was a God, and then, of course, naturally, I refused to believe there was a devil, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been here before. I've been in this place, and how did you explain evil if there's no God and there's no devil? How did you understand that? Or good, for that matter.
I always just kind of thought of it as things of there were just people out there who were just, you know, evil people who just did deeds of that everybody else as society would deem to be unacceptable. I kind of found the sense of good to be just the same. Like people just kind of chose to do that. But then when you really step back and look at how both of good and evil are actually orchestrated, there's so much more on the playing field.
Right.
So much more.
How did you explain the notion that you had of good and evil? Because everyone's, I mean, I don't care who you are, you've got your own sense of a moral code.
Sure.
How did you explain that?
I think that's a great way of, that's how I would kind of explain it, is I just kind of thought of it as, well, people just have their own moral codes, per se, and as a society, we have a moral code that we deem acceptable and non-acceptable. And then, once again, as I started to see, there's so much more on the playing field. You see the moral code from 20 years ago of what society found to be acceptable versus unacceptable And that's moved 50 yards downfield. And, you know, in a very, very short period of time. And the thing is it's always been moving.
Mm. For me, where I struggled was, as a kid, I was raised in the church, and I rejected my faith in fifth grade.
Any reason why, or you just...
Well, my parents got divorced. The skinny version is this. My parents got divorced. My father had been cheating on my mother for 5 years. And we just found out. Like, it all came out.
Sure. So you're kind of thinking as a kid, all of the ideals that are supposed to be taught at this place I'm going every day, nobody's even living them.
Everything that my parents sought to instill in me was a lie, right? Because he wasn't himself practicing the fidelity he wanted to impose on me, right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So I completely turned my back on it. And to make matters worse, my father was an elder in the church. You know, and this is where, you know, we all kind of are victims of our own thinking here. I was thinking to myself as a fifth grader, my dad is one of the smartest people I know.
And this is what he does.
And if he doesn't believe that God is real enough for it to change his behavior, it must not be true. This must just be something that kind of like Santa Claus, you know, you're just trying to get your kid to be good at Christmas and believe in that little magic that's not real.
Absolutely.
One of those kind of things. And I just kind of wrote it off real quick and went down the other road. Now, here's where I ran into problems. Was years later, remember, I had rejected my faith and I had rejected the notion of what my parents had sought, the warped version of what my parents sought to instill in my heart of good and evil. Not only that, I never fully embraced all of their values, and I certainly didn't embrace the values of our society. I would take things a little further than maybe others, and even still, there were some things that I thought our society embraced that I thought were wrong. And that was one of the things that kind of I thought was odd, that I had...
Why do I keep running into these crossroads?
I had my own value system, and it's like, where did that come from?
Why would I have value if I don't even believe of...
Yeah. If there is
a higher existence.
If for all intents and purposes, we are the most intelligent beings in the world, why in the world can't we just define what is right and wrong for ourselves? Why do I even have to submit to society or culture? I can just, you're no more of superior than I am.
Sure.
So, you know, so I kind of gave myself permission to do anything I wanted.
You went for it.
Yeah, well,
kind of like a Crowley mentality, Aleister Crowley of absolutely. "Do as thy will."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Uh-huh. And here's where I ran into problems. When I went to do the things that I really wanted to do, I couldn't do them. I was sitting right there; it was right in front of me. I won't explain what those specifics are, but it happened on a regular basis. There were things that I deeply, desperately wanted to call good, but I knew it was evil. I knew it was wrong. And when I went to step and do those things, I couldn't do them. I couldn't take that next step, even though my flesh was crying out saying, do it, do it, do it. I couldn't do it.
So it was as if something of a higher existence maybe had their hand on you.
I'm literally sitting there shaking, like trembling, like a child, terrified by the night, because darkness is all around me, beckoning me in. You know, it's like, man.
I just picture once again the devil playing that fiddle.
Yeah, there it is.
Here. You want to play me for my fiddle?
I would challenge anyone who claims to be a believer, who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who has all authority, who is the Word made flesh, as the Word of God made flesh, came to reveal to us the will and plan of God. Did Jesus acknowledge, Tyler, did Jesus acknowledge demons and the devil? I mean, you can't get through the Gospels without bumping into a story where somebody was demon possessed,
And I mean, I think people think, oh, that can't happen today. Like, what, you don't think the devil could be within us? Well, if your guard's down and you don't even believe he exists, why could he not be within?
One of the big things even unchurched people know is the temptations that Jesus had in the wilderness. You know, they may not be able to name what those temptations were. But it says the devil came and tempted him. You know, it didn't say the idea of evil came and tempted Jesus. You know, he's having, but he has a conversation with the devil.
Yep.
How do you have a conversation with somebody who doesn't exist? And by the way, in the Gospels, it says that Jesus came to cast out the ruler of this world, the devil.
There you go.
He actually doesn't just say he exists. It says he rules this world.
And, you know, we had a conversation a while back of the topic of faith versus fear, in the sense of, you know, right here is I think you can be fed by the Holy Spirit if you're feeding that energy just as much as you could be fed by a demonic spirit if you're
Absolutely.
Feeding into that energy. I think it is no faith versus fear. There's no difference in the energy that you can put out there. Rather, the difference being is good or evil, but there's no difference in how much of it you can feed through yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. If Jesus says that he's the ruler of this world, the prince of the air, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, that should startle you a little bit if you're one of those people who don't believe he exists. Because not only is he in this invisible entity that is working behind the scenes, and if you read the book of Revelation, will one day come forth through the Antichrist and rule this world. But until then, he's working behind the scenes. In that situation, who's the predator and who's the prey?
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can learn a little bit about us as well as catch up on past episodes. We hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. We are so happy that you're here. Peace, love, and God bless.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.